Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince, they exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello to all you delicious crumpets and a warm, buttery welcome to episode 11 of No Small Questions. I am your question master, superfan Sam Oakes, and it is my honour to pitch your burning questions to the wonderful stars of No Small Roles. Speaking of stars, let's go ahead and introduce the two gorgeous humans in the hot seat tonight. His mechanical creations might be stuck together with blue tack and elastic bands, but the party would be lost without this abracalad.
No.
It's Oren Quill, played by Ben Galfin.
Hey, hello.
I mean, it depends who you're helping, but, you know, most of the time your flash of genius is quite useful. Anyway, also joining us tonight from the sea shanty world of flintlocks and fireballs and creating some pretty big fires of their own in this campaign, a huge welcome to Robbie Bellacom and their special guest character, Alfie Noble. Ooh. I'm so excited to have you here.
Oh, I'm happy to be here.
You absolutely smashed these episodes and I'm really looking forward to this tonight because the chemistry between the two of you was so cute. It's like the two brainiacs that finally meet and realize that they're not alone. The same kind of like ums and ahs coming out. And there are some great questions for you tonight, guys. There's a lot of questions to get through as well, so I hope you're ready.
Yikes, we're here all night.
Also here with us tonight, we have some of our gorgeous patrons in the chat. Hello to all of you. And we have listener questions from the No Small World. Try that again.
No Small World is the theme park we're opening very soon.
Maybe we'll keep that in. And we have listener questions from the No Small Roles social media and Discord chat. Before we begin, here's your spoiler alert.
Spoiler alert!
These questions include spoilers for all episodes up to and including episode 51. So if you haven't caught up yet, I recommend you go do that now and we'll catch up with you later.
Oh, I better head off. I've not listened to 51 yet.
Oh, have you not? Okay, well, bye. This is all you then, Robbie, from now on.
Oh, dear.
Okay, all that being said, let's crack on with some questions and spill some Twaintide. We're actually going to start off with you, Robbie, because we've heard a couple of episodes from you, but we don't really know you all that much yet. So let's start off, as we've asked all the guest players in the past, as it's your first time on No Small Questions, let's get to know you a little better. How did you first discover Dungeons & Dragons?
Oh, God's knows. But I got given the book. Well, I got them for Christmas. I asked for them specifically. I wanted them. I got 3.5, I think, was my first edition.
Oh, wow.
When I was a teenager. And then I had no one who was willing to play. So they just, I read them cover to cover and did not play for several years. Then I went to drama school and found some nerds. And
there are a few of us there. Yep.
Just a few. Actually, surprisingly few, annoyingly few.
Oh.
Come to drama school, nerds. And yeah, we started playing and I had a couple of sort of regular games going and fell in love, really, with the whole role-playing thing.
It's pretty wonderful, particularly, like, you know, I see why you got actors involved in that because they love any excuse to play around.
Yeah.
Did you have to really push them into playing or was it kind of an organic thing? It's just like, here's my love, let's try it out.
I joined some sort of, it was more, to be fair, we played GURPS more than we did D&D when I started playing with a group, which was a lot looser and had a lot more people coming and going and was fine, but I wanted something more sustained. Then I moved in with my podcast friends, Ellie and Jason, And Jason started running a campaign for us. And that was kind of it from there. We just played constantly because we were living together as well. It became a lot of our weekends.
Oh, amazing. I love that.
And yeah, that was such a good campaign. It was really intense and not the nicest characters. Like they say, your first main character is you and Elfiers, and I really hope it wasn't because Steve was a problem.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Are you learning more about Steve as you go?
Yeah, she was a nightmare, a fun nightmare. But like, there was a point where I broke someone's fingers to stop them casting magic. And looking back, I was like, right, that was unjustified and just dark as hell. So, yeah, that character.
Someone on your party? Or
no, this was my first campaign. This is pre-podcasting and things, but we captured a cleric who was evil, very much evil, and killing people. But we were trying to interrogate them and we were worried they would cast magic. And you have a lot of like verbal, somatic, and material components. So you gag them, you take away the materials. But what do you do with hands? Turns out breaking every finger is a really bad thing to do to a person. Yeah, people still bring that up and I feel bad.
Dark. I kind of love it though.
Yeah, and all my other characters are sort of like sweet or silly or that one was, don't know where that one came from, but she was also like a good friend.
Was it the build-up of like you read this book way back and like, you know, you've just been building and building, it's got darker and darker, this character wanting to be unleashed and then just had to break all the fingers in the world?
I mean, it was a very practical choice, but actually when we got more into the role playing, I was like, no, that was a bad person thing to do. Yeah.
I love that.
So maybe, I think maybe since then, I play nicer characters who maybe have accidents and cause problems rather than on purpose doing it. God damn it, Steve.
I love this.
And you you mentioned that you are part of a podcast yourself.
Yes.
Can you tell us a little bit about Flintlocks and Fireballs and how that began?
Yeah. So Flintlocks and Fireballs, I think the world of it has been living in our DM Jason's head for a long time. He's had this idea that he's wanted to play this campaign for a while. And then we were like, we should do it sometime. We'll do this. It was a concept. We never really considered doing anything more with it. Then it got to his birthday and we got a bunch of people together, played a game, and was like, oh, this is a really nice table. These are really good folks. Actually, let's sod it. Let's commit and let's do this thing properly. And yeah, we just started doing it all remotely right from the start, which was a shame because I was away working. Two of them were living in London. Sam was living in Devon. It was like, ah. But actually, when it came to pandemic times, it meant we could keep it going really neatly. Mm. But yeah, it's a lovely world. It's very much sort of an alternate history. It's sort of Napoleonic style. A lot of the events that happen are similar to actual history, but obviously very different because the party gets in the way and changes things, which is fun, screwing up what could be actual history.
I love that. How far do you feel like you've deviated from history? Are there points that you now can't redact? It's like, okay, well, that can't happen anymore.
I mean, I've started the French Revolution by rolling a natural one, so...
Oh, wow.
That is a big crit fail.
That was a problem. Yeah.
It's on the critical fails table, isn't it?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, no, I rolled a one. Revolution.
But things like that where you like, but it also means because a couple of us know history decently from that sort of era because we're doing it like 1797 we started. I think we're now into 1798 in terms of world years. But there are bits that have been moved around and things we think are going to happen because we know the history then happens so differently. And it's like, oh no, I wasn't anticipating this. Oh dear.
That's such a brilliant concept. I love it.
Yeah. I mean, it's when we get like, we have a magical item that lets us scry on the future and it, just seeing like our world, but through a magical lens as well. It's fascinating.
And has that future changed as
yes,
well?
Yes, because your actions change the future. Yeah.
Butterfly effect kind of thing. Yeah. That has got to be so interesting.
It's dangerous.
As a player.
It's so dangerous.
That's so good.
It can drive you mad. It's
That's fantastic.
And there are consequences for using the item as well. It's not a freebie.
Sorry, tell me more.
Oh, there's massive spoilers. Actually, no. It is a bit of spoilers. But yeah, there are side effects to using it.
Save that for for the listeners. I'll find out myself.
Yeah,
in due
we do
course.
Have a huge backlog, but do if you want to jump in, look at our website. It'll tell you where a good point to jump in is because we're on, I think, episode 154, maybe? I lost track. Something like that.
That is a good week of binging, though, for all of our listeners.
It's so many of us.
Myself included.
More than a week.
Right. Amazing. That is enough questions from me for now. Let's move on to some from our listeners. So let's start off with, let's stick with Robbie here, and a question here from Tiamat. absolutely love Alfie. Such a great character. I'm sure we can all imagine the trouble Alfie and Juno could have got up to if they were together longer. What was your inspiration behind Alfie? And was the link to the Hex something that affected the creation or decided after Alfie was made?
Ooh, little bit of both. So when I like was thinking of character ideas, I was chatting with David, so I wasn't getting anything totally out of the world, but he gave me options of where the party would be, basically, what would be going on, plot threads that have been happening, characters I could be somehow affiliated with, to sort of give me a reason to actually come and join them rather than just walk past in the street and never interact, which would have been a brief
thing with guest characters.
So sort of like, what can I tie into? What's interesting? And I love artificers. I'm such a nerd for the artificer, and I wanted to play another one for a while. I had one in a sort of short-lived campaign that I was like, oh, I'd like to play more of these. I was like, I know you've had a lot of artificers recently. Is it going to be a problem? So I thought I'd try to look at a different angle to, rather than be more the sort of Winthrop style that you've just had all these creators, like focusing solely like on alchemy or something else. So it's more just a different side of it. So it wouldn't be the same.
It's a really interesting kind of subclass to play with as well, because I didn't feel like there was actually any real overlap between you and Orin. Like the way that you played your character, although there were similarities in characteristics, actually the mechanical build of the characters, the way that you played, was very, very different. Like
it's such a versatile class, and the fact you prep spells as well, it means that I know the sort of spells and things that Orin has on hand generally, so I just picked different things and things that were more suited to the alchemical side, which is really fun. And the tie-in with the Hex was sort of like, okay, this is actually somewhere that I can be there, but I don't want to be the bad person entirely, because I want to have some way of being with the party other than Jim just killing me outright, which would have, again, been very short.
This is a guest. You have to kill them. Go.
Amazing.
Just start with some PvP. Sod it.
You have to burn them. That is the first challenge. That's amazing. So the Hex was an option that was given to you by David. It wasn't that you kind of thought, oh, maybe I can be tied into the Hex. This was a way to organically build the story.
These are the places, these are the characters, these are the threads that we're building. Does anything appeal to you to be part of? I was like, well, I could join into this somehow. And I wanted to be an artificer again. And then Goblin was just fun. It was it's a race you haven't come across before in this world, and I really like the small races. I like gnomes and goblins and halflings and all of that fun stuff, so sod it. It's also somewhat less, it fitted the character I wanted. I didn't want something that was like hulking and big. It felt more like a small wiry character.
A bit like Orin in a lot of ways. He didn't want to build a big character either.
No, definite crossover.
Let's have a question for, I'm going to assume this is for you, because it's another one from Tiamat for the Helper of Enemies, which I'm guessing indicates Orin in this case.
What? I don't know what Tiamat means by that.
No, guess we'll never know. What are Orin's feelings after recovering the page from Alfie, knowing it will help people, but also hit the Hex where it hurts?
Good question. I think Orin's delighted, both in terms of getting a page from Alfie's notes. That's awesome. Getting to see what another artificer gets up to, in this case, an alchemist, like quite a different artificer, as you said, Robbie, but that's really exciting, I think. And getting to strike at the Hex is always a plus as far as Orin is concerned. I feel like we've caused quite a bit of mischief to the Hex along the way so far. They've also caused quite a lot of mischief, it must be said.
It kind of feels like, retribution, particularly for Orin, because, it hasn't really come out with it much yet, but we know that there is a link to Hex in Orin's past, a bad link as well, that something potentially thrown from rooftop. I'm not going to ask that now, but, there's this kind of like, I finally have a weapon that I can use against them or get rid of all of those plans. Kind of love that.
Absolutely. I think there's definitely been a mention along the lines of Hex and rooftops, I believe.
I think maybe you mentioned it. I'm not 100% sure, but it's been a theory of mine for some time. So if that's, are you saying 100% it is the Hex?
I can't remember if I've confirmed that before or not. I feel like I have confirmed that. I feel like that is a fact that is known, that the Hex were involved in Orin's fall off the rooftop, or push off the rooftop, potentially, depending on how you want to say that one.
And waking up with a magical tattoo. We'll get to that.
Yeah. So yes, he's not a big fan of the hex. That is definitely true. And I think he's quite excited about... Yeah, so it's a nice combination for him. Anything that involves a bit of alchemy and a bit of artifice and also a bit of... yeah, getting at them is a double.
Yeah, because you got your little book as well, your introduction to alchemy, which now is kind of, you know, really, really fed into that, that you were able to, practice with a bottle of smoke, and now I can make anti-frosting.
Yeah.
Or anti-freeze, I think, as somebody put it.
Yeah.
I love it when everything works out. Let's have another question for Robbie. This one's from me.
Ooh,
so early in the No Small Questions as well. Love it. Robbie,
yes.
Do you think DM David should add Alfie's note-taking gibberish as a learnable language in this campaign?
Yes, 100%, and should write it out in full.
Brilliant. I really like the idea that other people can be like, oh yeah, I speak Alfie. Oh, you speak Alfie, and they'll just have a conversation in sixes and nines.
Oh, I love that. That would be so funny.
Amazing. Well, that was a short question.
Well, yeah. I mean, the good news is if it's a learnable language, I mean, you know, then potentially that's a skill that we can pick up with the tongue spell, other ways maybe that, yeah. You know.
Well, because you use the comprehend languages to understand it, which is why I thought like, oh, maybe it is a, you know, it's not just gibberish. It's something that somebody can learn, you know, like a small cipher or something like that if they have time. So I like the idea that somebody can speak Alfie as well.
Yeah.
But moving on to my next question for you, Robbie, which is also, was the dyslexia an early character choice, or was it a mechanic that you and David adopted to give the brewing process a higher difficulty level?
I think it was mostly character choice. I like that it has a mechanical effect. I did enjoy it. Like, that was quite an early thing of going, actually, yeah, this is going to make life harder for everyone else, which is great. I love it. But also, it's just a thing I've had in my head for a while, like, I kind of wanted to have a character who had dyslexia and maybe found a way around it that was more interesting other than just struggling with the way we normally struggle with dyslexia. I found out I had dyslexia about a year ago, which, you know, I could have done with knowing that 20 years ago.
Oh, wow.
Would have made some difference, I think. So it was just something that was... been in my head a lot recently, so it sort of played into character ideas a lot.
Do you feel it in the same way as Alfie does, like the way that you described it?
Not quite the same. I mean, P's and B's are very much my problem. Like, writing the word cupboard always, every time, I just have to stop in the middle and go, I have no idea, we'll let autocorrect fix this. I know they're both there, and when I write, I just write the wrong one sometimes, and words just, probably is another terrible word to write, and properly, nightmare. But, like, my dyslexia is a bit different in that I never had problems reading or with literacy. It's more in sort of processing speeds and all sorts of things. The psychologist I saw could probably do it better than I can to explain it better. But it was interesting to discover something about yourself and then go, okay, let's put this in a character, because it's usually the other way around.
Yeah,
I put something in a character and then I learn it's true about myself 6 months down the line.
I hope you find the same solution to the problem as Alfie did. Just don't bother with those sixes and nines.
Yeah, it was only because I'm a student again. I'm a part-time student because I got bored in a pandemic, and I thought I might have ADHD, so I got my university to assess me, and they're like, yes, but also dyslexia. I'm like, oh. Thank you. Maybe.
Good things come in twos.
It does make me look at, like, discovering stuff about myself through playing characters has sort of made me look at every character choice I ever make now, building things, going, oh, is this because you think it'll be fun to play? Or are we saying something about ourselves here that we maybe need to think about more closely? Like, I played a non-binary character before I came out as non-binary for a good 6 months before I figured it out. And
oh, wow.
I was like, why does this feel so good? Oh. Right. That's why it feels so good. D&D is great for that.
It's coming out of that subconscious part of you.
Yeah. I always play characters that you're interested in, because it could be saying something about yourself that maybe you want to experience or try something out. It's great.
Oh, that's beautiful.
It's such a good tool, D&D. Role-playing is good for everyone.
What does that say about me then? Because I always build like really high DPS characters that just go out there and destroy everything. And
AC 25.
What am I saying about myself? I want to destroy everyone. But I can't because I'm frail and lanky. amazing. Let's have a question for Ben now. This is from the wonderful superfan Hannah T. Not Hand Clam, not our Lord Crumpet, but the original super fan.
Original flavour, Hannah.
Yeah. What's the most challenging and or enjoyable thing about playing with a guest character? And what was the most challenging or enjoyable thing about playing with this guest character in particular?
Oh, I don't know that there was much challenging about playing with Robbie. it's so nice to have a guest pop in because it just brings a different dynamic, I think, to the group. And I think what's been so lovely about the guests that we've been lucky enough to have, it's always just like a lovely little fun, self-contained adventure that we get to go on in our guest arcs. So with Robbie, we had our fantastic hexy, alchemisty, explosion-y, set everything on fire, double bill. but yeah, just the brilliant, just different energy that you get because, you know, when David comes up with all his amazing NPCs that he comes up, you obviously get different dynamics with that and how all the characters bounce off that. But I think actually having a real life human come in and play another character just gives such a good kind of new energy to the group. And I think you get a lovely thing as well, like of that I really noticed with Robbie of like, how Alfie was seeing all the group, like the introduction to the group from like Alfie's point of view is like fascinating seeing what this group is that has developed. And then how everyone reacts to Alfie turning up, like Enkidu gets furious. It's like, no. And then like Tamar storming out of the pub, like interrogating Alfie with like Guy as well, like joining in with the interrogation of sort of Alfie in the corridor outside, whereas June is trying to offer them tea and Orange just trying to chat tinkering and alchemy and everything else under the sun. So yeah, I think that's an absolute joy. And I think it was so, what was so lovely as well, like was having Robbie come in as another artificer.
Mm-hmm.
And as you said earlier, Robbie, like bringing really different skill set to the table. But I think that was really nice. I mean, that was really nice for me as a player, but I think it was also just really nice for Orin as a character because the other artificers that he has met are the Wingthraps. They're probably the only other artificers I think he's ever met.
Yeah.
And obviously there were some nicer Wingthraps, but there were lots of problematic Wingthraps. So really lovely for Orin to get a chance to meet someone who isn't a Wingthrup. And I think meet someone who is or feels much more in his sort of vein of experience and self-taught.
Yeah.
With all the pros and cons and explosions that go with that. I think it's a really lovely thing for Orin to get to know.
It's kind of, yeah, a nice kind of faith in artificery restored kind of thing after what you'd just been through.
Yeah, definitely. After seeing the potentially destructive, horrible side. Well, I mean, not to say that Alfie isn't destructive, but in a very different way.
Yeah, but accidentally, I think. There's no like grand golem plan or anything, you know.
I really don't think Alfie's like plotting to meddle with the throne or anything of that nature. I think much more concentrating on their own thing. I think the... I'm just trying to remember what Hannah's other bit of the question was.
It was about guest players in general and kind of the vibe that they bring. Because I would say, like, with every single one of these guest characters that have been brought in, and, you know, particularly with Robbie in this last one, you can hear the joy. You can hear the joy in the room. You can hear it from the players, from the characters themselves, you know, playing around with, do I trust this person? How much do we give away? But also inevitably at some point just being like, oh, we love you. We'll tell you everything.
I think so. And I think like, it just brings a whole fun new dynamic every single time to the recordings and to the sessions when we've just got someone else in the room. It's just an absolute joy. And I think it's fun getting to see all the different complete, I think like our three guests that we've had so far have all brought such completely different characters and energies to the show. And I think, you know, so it was nice again for Orin to get to bounce off Alfie, who's a very different character to Dwayne, because I think in the first Dwayne episode, Oren said one sentence.
Oh,
I think this was pointed out to me later that the only thing Oren said in the whole episode was, "We have a horse."
We have a horse, yeah.
Oh, no.
I think it was a combination of like intimidated, terrified, and slightly in love. that Dwayne just sort of like flummoxed him completely. So it was lovely just having a completely different vibe for him to get to know. In terms of difficulties, I mean, none. Like, it's just the only minor quibble is it makes editing an extra voice. It's just it's disproportionately, like, the more players we have, the more complicated the edit gets. That's
but is it not nice to have a refreshing voice in there just to make 100%. The editing process so much nicer?
Yes, absolutely.
But next time they do their edit, right?
Absolutely, they're doing. And Grace very kindly obliged by being missing from the first episode that Robbie was in. So
she had her head down on a table somewhere, didn't she?
Yeah, it was necking mimosas or whatever, strawberry daiquiris in the pub.
Oh, fantastic. Robbie, let's have there's another question from the superfan Han for you. Did you purposefully add any character traits or knowledge details to Alfie in order to make the players' lives easier or harder?
Oh, I mean, when I rolled my stats, I was immediately like, oh, this is going to be a nightmare to be around. So there was that. High intelligence, low wisdom is a joy to play and a nightmare to play with. But fun.
You played it well, by the
way.
That was so much fun.
I love it. I need more characters like this. I need to play this character longer term. Fucking love it. I think background things, it was like, okay, Hex, that's going to be a problem. But also just knowing that I wouldn't immediately know the things to say and having this information that as soon as I say it is going to be a problem, which was fun. Like, as soon as I said the hex, I was like, oh, there we go. And using the word frosting for the first time and getting the reaction, I was like, yeah.
Yeah,
knew that
was
eventually
really
get
nice.
A reaction.
Yeah.
It was more like, I suppose, rather than the character building stuff, it was in-game going, oh, you're annoyed by what I'm doing. Let's do it more. Let's see how annoyed we can get in Kido. Whenever someone finds because it was a character that wasn't going to be there long term, I was like, I can be annoying. I can be a problem because I don't need to stick around. It's very different from being like joining a party long term. So you know you can be difficult or make problems for people and make the worst possible choice in a moment because the long term consequences are for the rest of the party. I get to leave.
I don't know. There's a big outcry to bring you back.
Oh,
Lego's
I
just posted in the chat, please bring Alfie back. So long time part of the show, hopefully now. Keep bringing you back.
I love that, getting into more trouble. It's such a fun thing to be able to do. Just go, this is a problem, let's make it worse.
I think that was the delightful thing about the two-episode arc was just, I mean, the literal pouring fuel on the fire, like, constantly. Like Alfie was getting into.
And the difference between character and player knowledge, like, the character did not know how bad the choices was a bad decision and the things would be made worse by it. But I was going, yes, let's make it worse.
Yeah.
I love that difference between them. Sometimes a character knows and they're doing it on purpose, but Alfie's just so oblivious. Because
with that low wisdom.
Yeah, that wisdom of, what was it? I've got my character sheet still. Wisdom of 7.
Whoa,
that's low.
Nice.
It's really
that's
low.
Really good.
Intelligence of 20. Wisdom of 7.
Wow, you got 20 on intelligence as well.
Yeah,
I mean, I
think I did, like, instead of taking feats and things, like, I bumped it up. That wasn't the natural one. I think I did the custom background as well to buff it up and just let everything else go to hell.
Oh, brilliant. I need to build more characters like that. I, like I said earlier, I really do. I get very meta.
I've got too many
and
characters.
I look through all the best things to build in and try and make it better for the people. I should make lives worse.
I like building big old flaws into characters. It's fun.
Because you literally brought all the attention to the tavern as well. Like, you know, these guys were just enjoying a drink after the thing and suddenly they're running away from a burning building by the end of the episode.
Running away from a whole city.
Which is pretty special.
It's another city we can't go back to.
I know. You're running out of places to go now, aren't you? I dread to think that's going to happen in Vernot Rise. We're just going to move continents. We're going to move you out of Dravain. Put you over there. You can burn some things down, create some problems. Rostal Mark 2.
We've got the whole world of Julemir to explore if we need.
Yeah, great. Let's go back down to the Woden Isles.
Yes,
I want to see stuff there.
Okay, next we have a question that is not going to be read by me. We have Pippa standing by in the Zoom. So Pippa, if you're ready, over to you.
Hi, Robbie.
Hi. I waved. I realised that doesn't pick up on audio.
My question for you is, Alfie mentioned, I think, that the Fate Mark V were the third group that they had fallen in with.
Yeah.
Presumably the Hex are the second. So I wondered whether you could tell us who the first group were.
Yeah.
Such a good spot, Pippa.
I don't think it's as... it's a shame like, there isn't David to ask if this is okay to
He's
say.
He's not here, probably, so you can just say it.
He's not here, we can say anything
you
we like.
You can say what you like.
Because I don't know and like all of his world building, I'm like, is this going to... Sod it. But yeah... Like, Alfie mostly self-trained, but briefly was trained at the Arcanists Consortium. Briefly.
I knew it!
Yeah! Their reactions are amazing. Yeah, like, they were, like, this promising youngster and were like, yeah, like, someone took them under their wing. But they're not good at, like, following instructions and fitting a certain method. And things exploded and they had to leave.
Oh, my goodness. I have so many
so,
follow-ups.
Yeah, they got kicked out quite quickly, wow. I think.
Pippa, that was a flash of genius. Well
yeah!
done.
Plus five to your rolls.
I mean, that's made my day. Thank you.
Amazing question. Thank you, Pippa.
That is such good intel. I so want to ask other questions, but also I'm aware that Dad, aka Baby David, isn't here, and therefore I might get in trouble. But
well, it's funny actually, because I'm reading here that the next question is from you, Ben, and it's for Robbie. That's really strange.
So I hear you trained at the Arcanist Consortium. Tell us everything. Which of them are working with the Hex?
Oh, God. I love that Ashley has just put suddenly David has sensed a disturbance in the Force somewhere. He's just like, wait, they're talking about my plot lines.
Too much backstory is coming out.
God, I can hear super fans going crazy all over the place as soon as this info comes out. But I put it in there as a joke. When I read this question, I put it in there, Arcanist Consortium with the horror face.
This is why we need superfan Pippa around at all times.
I know, right?
Listening in on everything.
She is a law bard. Yes. 100%.
We need Pippa in on the episodes, just sitting there on the chat so that Pippa can just point out things like, well, the episode's unfolding. We can be like, aha!
Oh, so good. Thank you so much, Pippa. Let's have another question from Robbie. This one is from Hannah Clancy, a.k.a. Lord Crumpet, who we all bow to. Does Alfie know of the Wingthrups? And is there a potential of Alfie being swept up by the Wingthrups due to their unique talents?
I can't remember if they know. If they do, if they've heard the name, it will just be a name. I don't think there's any sort of actual history or knowledge there. But, I mean, Alfie's got a very low wisdom. There's a real danger if they're falling in with bad people again. It really is. There's nothing to stop it happening if they're in the wrong place.
But Enkidu warned them.
I know. Like, there is the warning. That will count for something.
Yeah.
Does wisdom go into memory?
Not necessarily memory.
History is an
intelligence
thing, so.
But insight. Yeah. Mm. And if you're doing persuasion checks, quite often it goes against things that like you put it up against insight.
Mm.
And then, yeah, there's a problem, potentially. Or even, like, even Alfie's charisma's not great either. Like, they could be easily persuaded if they're not careful.
I'm really worried.
Oh, God.
We need to stay in touch with Alfie and just check what they're
up to be the French Revolution.
At regular intervals. I feel like we might be asking Juno to do a few sending spells every now and then. Where are you, Alfie?
If they do fall in with the Wingthrups, they might just blow things up. Like, they could genuinely just cause some problems.
Yeah. Hey, they might get kicked out the Wingthrups.
Probably.
I'd live for like a daily sending from Juno. So you've just got to send in messages to David every single day of just like,
are you near the Golden
Forest?
Still haven't
fallen in with them. By the way, the first people I was with was the Arcanist Consortium. Bye.
Yeah.
And let them roll with it.
Oh, yeah, that's some player knowledge that the characters don't have.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Enjoy.
Oh, man.
We are so talking about this in the next fan chats. Anyway.
So talking about this in the next episode.
Oh, it's coming up. It's been mentioned on here that I've had a month to listen to it. So it's coming up. Right, Pip?
Yeah.
Let's have another question for you, Ben, from Tiamat, who has asked here, how is Orin feeling about Enkidu? Ooh. And is he in the background considering options in case Erida decides to take control?
How is Orin feeling about Enkidu? I think to answer the second bit rather than the first, I feel like I don't think that's been a massive concern for Orin, rightly or wrongly. I think he's more probably concerned about information getting fed back. I think that is a concern. I think how that connection goes that way, but how much it's crossed his mind that Enkidu might just flip and suddenly we've got Evil Kidu. I'm trying to make a pun. It's not working. That's
close.
I'll keep working on that. Well, come on. By next Noseball questions, I'll have a great pun for that.
Enkivaldu?
Enkivaldu. There we go. That's much better. Enkivaldu. I guess there's definitely the thought of, like, has it changed his objectives? Because how much has he sort of had stuff programmed in? We've certainly seen through Juna's mind reading moment that we've seen Enkidu is now being given the sort of the sole task of trying to get to Mervi. There we go. So there's obviously control from that point of view. But yeah, I don't think Orin is at the moment concerned that Enkidu's suddenly going to change. And how is he feeling about Enkidu?
Because I will put in here that there haven't been in the early days of the campaign, there was quite a lot of, like, Orin and Enkidu. They talk about magic. They talk about this kind of stuff and how they're feeling, almost like they're kind of separate to the others at some points. And there hasn't really been much of that lately. I'm wondering if that is kind of just the way that these games have been going, or whether that was something that you and Daryl have kind of been doing without maybe really even noticing.
I think there was definitely to start with. That's a really interesting question. I think it's been on a bit of a wave with Enkidu. Like, initial relief that he was back, to then going, oh, is he back? And I think in some ways, I feel like Orin, in maybe a way that sort of Guy has struggled with, has got on board a bit more with the sort of core fundamentals of Enkidu still seem to be there. And the personality, at least sort of on the surface, doesn't seem hugely different in some respects. It's obviously he has changed a lot. But yeah. And I think there've been a couple of Orin Enkidu moments. Like, there was a little moment in the workshop at Ferocene's, I think, afterwards, like them doing a little bit of work together.
Making
a terrible shield. Making an awful silver shield, just ruining some perfectly good silver.
It was cute. I mean, you could have used that silver to make your wedding bands.
Oh, yeah.
That's still on, right? You're still engaged, despite everything that's happened. That, you know, although I suppose till death do us part, and he has technically died.
That's true.
I suppose you got free reign there now, Orin.
He's carefree and single again now.
I like this then. So that question, I feel like, has a TBC attached to it. It's kind of like a playing and seeing what happens at the moment and seeing which way the wind blows before you actually make a decision whether you do or don't trust a person.
Yeah. I think I sort of feel like, unless given evidence otherwise, I feel Orin will be trusting of him. I think he's trusting of him at this point. But would obviously be on the alert.
yeah. It's kind of like, I trust you until shit goes down.
And I think there's a huge element of Orin that he is just sort of fascinated by what Enkidu has also become. And I think that is, you know, just as a purely technical note for Orin, kind of fascinating. And, you know, on a technical aspect of him not needing to sleep and seemingly not needing to eat unless it's, you know, part of a competition.
That's the only time it doesn't count. I mean, I suppose this is the rare case where it doesn't really matter, because friend or foe, you're gonna help him out.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, that is the Orin way.
Oh, I see what we're doing here.
Sorry.
I just need to find out what his damage resistance is and immunity is.
Just so you can buff him in the
and
right
what
way.
What will recharge him?
Oh, brilliant. Thank you for answering that one,
and
Ben.
Also write to the Wingthrups and ask for all of my possessions that they now have, aka Enkidu's possessions.
Brilliant. Cheers, Ben. Okay, let's have... Oh, this one is for Robbie, but it's not from me. We have Lego standing by in the Zoom. So, Lego, if you are ready, over to you.
So this question isn't actually from me. It's from my friend Pitt, but I'm reading it for him because he can't be here. And for Robbie, given that the podcast is recorded quite far in advance to when it's released, were you given any spoilers or background info that you need to just know before recording?
Yes, I did get quite a lot of info in advance, which was just like, David sent me all of these other plot lines. This is what's happening. Sort of a breakdown of stuff. But then I also just went and listened to the whole podcast. Mm-hmm. I think when we recorded, like 43 was out, I want to say. Something like that. So the ones after it weren't huge, like big plot things. So I was pretty much up to date on where everyone was at. There wasn't anything major that wasn't. Nothing major surprise wise, anyway. So I knew a lot more than Alfie did for sure. So yeah, I thought I'll listen to a few just because they're good. And oh God, now I need to listen to everything. So I properly marathoned the show over a few weeks. And yeah, by that point I was character building and sort of, I already knew the background, so it was good to be able to work it in. And David's great. Any questions I had, he was like full of answers. Just good DM. Very good DM.
He is, isn't
he? I know you all agree, but is. Yeah.
Oh yeah, we know.
Yeah.
He is the best.
We've got people in the chat bowing to him currently. Don't let it go to your head, David.
You see, this is the other reason why you shouldn't be here, David. You know, that we big you up.
Yeah, if he was here, he could have locked all of this stuff down and now, now we're just getting all of the goods. Oh, brilliant. Thank you very much for that Lego through kit. Yeah. So thank you, Kit.
Thank you, Kit, and Lego.
Amazing. Okay. So, Ben, we've got another one here from Tianats. Have you considered, rather than saying you're going to Flash of Genius, just saying I'm going to abracalad that?
No.
Why not?
Next question. Absolutely not, dear Matt.
I think everybody else will just have to do it for him. I love how much you hate this as well.
It's a delight.
It's one of the big parts.
The thing is, we spent behind the scenes insight. We spent about 3 months trying to come up with a group name through like the messenger chat. Like we came up with about 150 names for the group.
It's hard.
Yeah,
it's a
really
hard thing
hard.
To do.
It's like
we've never done it.
Yeah,
my well, part, I don't have a name.
We were really struggling, and then we finally came up one that we all liked. Fate Mark 5, we were all on board, happy days, and then these idiots came up with Abracalads, and then to make matters worse, and spelt it in the most stupid way imaginable, with symbols and Zs and... So no. And it also means that any attempt to make Abracalads merch, I will just burn on the spot. Just so we're all aware.
I mean, just ship them through somebody else because I want to see Abracalad's merch.
But another behind the scenes insight. the most recent episode that came out, episode 50, Grace wrote a lovely summary for it before it went up. And then I was just making a couple of little edits just to change a word or two here. And she had written Abracalad's in it and I changed it to Fate Mark 5. I was like, nope. The group has an official name.
Okay, what, a written note? Or did you literally put your voice in there saying Fate Mark 5 in the middle of Grace's speech?
Just a written note this time, but...
Next time, yeah.
I reserve the right while I'm editing the episode.
Just Abracalad. Fantastic. I love how brief that question was as well. On to another one for you, Ben. This is from Ross Meikle, who has asked, what is it about you, Orin, or the DM that means Orin seems to get the most emotional goodbye scenes? So not only with Robbie, but also Myra with that invisible hug. And with Jenny with the new boots.
Yeah.
he's right. Really, yeah, just kind of, it always, you seem to get the really kind of, yeah, at the end of an arc, it's like, oh, an Orin's fan.
Oh. What is it about Orin? Well, I can't answer what it is about the DM. He's not here. He'll have to answer for himself on that one. I think, well, it's been different in each of those three occasions, I feel, hasn't it? Like, I feel like Jenny was so mean to Orin to start with. So I think maybe making up for that a little bit, being all the "you're just poor" moment with Orin. There was that. Myra, he's not the most sure of himself, is he? Or the most confident, or the most necessarily always outgoing of personalities. So I think there is definitely I have a massive tendency that I want to look after him.
Yeah.
And so I imagine that is maybe an element that rubs off on some other characters as well, because, yeah, I feel hugely protective over him, and partly because he's my character. So, of course, I love him to bits, but
he's definitely got that, like, Oliver Twist thing going on, isn't he? Where, you know, people do want to help him. Yeah, and I totally get that. He also doesn't ask for anything, which I think is quite cute about Orin. He doesn't ask for a lot from people, and, you know, he's not really going out there and trying to splash his money around. So it's kind of nice when, you know, people then give him something without him.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if there's something in that, but, yeah, the whole bit with Myra.
I mean, he's certainly not good at splashing money around, because he's never had it. So I think if he ever does have any money, he's going to get a bit like, about it as well. And it's funny you saying the Oliver Twist. I can't remember if it's come up before, but in the backstory at one point, I had a little like Oliver Twist thing and called him Orinver Twist. Another terrible Ben pun that occurred in my backstory notes for David.
Please, sir, may I have some more in?
Okay. No, something like that. Anyway, I'm going to move on from that terrible impression. So, another one for you, Ben. Oh. But this time, it's from me.
Yay.
Kind of moves on from that as well. What is Orin's honest opinion of Myra post-Invisible Snuggle?
Yeah.
Because you weren't a biggest fan before.
No. Again, Orin went through such a curve of emotions with Myra, from initial excitement of, ooh, Artificer, through to
Artificer, yeah.
complete frustration with everything about Myra. I think by the end, the question was, what was the, by the end, was the...
Yeah, the post the snuggle bit.
Yeah. I think, Tiamat's just popped in the chat as well, that by the end, there was a definite link there between the two of them, that they had both lost their parents in some way, lost their families in some way. It's definitely a huge crossover. And I think Orin's real struggle with Myra was, I think, really, you know, a lot of it wasn't just about Myra. Yeah, okay, it was about Myra a lot of it. She was really annoying. but there was a sense of entitlement, I think, and a sense of, like, stuff being handed to her, which, as a person, I can see that is a lot is the Wingthrups. That is the family. I think Orin struggled to see that is, like, the Wingthrups, and was just like, you're really entitled and annoying. And really sure of yourself. But I think, as a player, I can see that the two of them had very different upbringings. And I think Myra is part of this huge dynasty of artificers that have this clear route laid out in front of them, and all these opportunities and all these resources, and everything is there for them. And that is not something Orin had growing up. So I think there's an element of jealousy and all of that there. But I mean, by the end of that arc, like, yeah, his feelings had completely changed towards her. And I think he's hugely protective of her now.
Mm.
I think, you know, a lot because her circumstances have changed, but also because he's got to know her.
Yeah, because she's got nothing now.
So
yeah.
Great.
She's likable.
Now she gets to know what it's like.
All you've got is a bonnet.
But I think, you know, also just, you know, she opened up to Orin in her own way. And I think there was just such an openness there from her that that's impossible not to sort of reciprocate, I think, as well.
Yeah. Particularly, like, you know, she did, you noticed in those last couple of interactions with Myra that she's trying to find positive things to say, but you're right, it's that Wingthrop part of her yeah. that is, you criticize things and yeah. you point out the flaws, and that's just part of the family. And I think, yeah, it took the experience in the queue for Orin yeah. to realize that.
Bless her trying to be positive about some stuff really badly. Which I loved. But also, I think Orin, you know, has taken on stuff from her. Like, you know, he's got his traveling workshop now.
Yeah, yeah. Which she loved.
Yeah. Which, but is from her blueprints, essentially. And, you know, and also a whole load of stuff from, like, Ferrocene's workshop as well that he nicked. So he's totally learnt from both of them along the way.
I'm really looking forward to seeing how that relationship develops, particularly when you get over to Gwen's family some point.
That's
Cahilda's family.
That's a whole explosion of mess.
I can't wait to see it.
I also want to see a spin-off, which is just what's going on with that whole family when the Wingthrops turn up.
Oh my god, it's good. I really hope that you guys somehow magically arrive at the same time and we get to see all of that anarchy unfolding. But unfortunately, it'll probably just be summed up by our DM. Thank you so much, Ben, for answering that. We haven't heard from Robbie for a little while, so Lego has another question for you.
Ooh.
So let's jump over to you now, Lego.
So this one actually is from me this time. Specifically with regards to recording this as a podcast, but also like just generally playing. Flintlocks and Fireballs only has 3 player characters, which is quite a small party. Whereas in this, you had up to 6 players when Grace rejoined.
Yes.
How much of a difference does that make? And which do you prefer?
It does make a big difference. Like, it does change how you're playing to a degree, and also like coming into something, it's a different dynamic. And like, so when we've only got the 3 of us, if one of us has a personal thing that takes up loads of time, it's not the end of the world. It's not such a big thing because there's only 3 characters we can switch between. If we have an hour conversation between Celestia and Ellie's character and an NPC, and Sam and I just sit quiet for a bit, it's fine, we're having a lovely time listening. But when you've got 6 people there, that's more, you've got to consider more balancing the dynamic in the space, giving everyone time to have their moment and talk. And like, it's coming into that, it's like, okay, I am a guest here, it doesn't matter if I take up a bit more space, but also I want to make sure everyone still has that moment. I think people who DM probably understand that a lot as well, is balancing who gets their moment and making sure everyone feels like they have a role and have their space to be their character and give them a moment. I like both is fun. I feel like there's a risk with smaller parties where you can get a bit self-indulgent spending so much time on things. And with bigger ones, there's a risk of things you want to say getting missed because you can't jump in at the right point. So it's a different play style. Both are good.
Or someone only saying one sentence for an entire episode.
One sentence in an entire episode. Yeah, it happens. And the nice thing with playing with people that you're also good friends with and that you trust and that sort of thing is that you can have those conversations off air as well, or out of game, go, I took up a lot of space here. Was that okay? And generally the answer is, yes, it was fine. It was great. I loved everything you did there. But it's nice to also go, actually, I felt like I could have done more there. Do you mind just stepping back and giving me more space next time? It's trust between players is very important, and open communication. And it's worth considering like the dynamic at a table, and it does change when you put more characters in. Yeah.
Amazing. Thank you so much, Lego. Brilliant question, by the way.
Yeah, great question.
I would have really laughed if you just gone, oh, I just prefer no small roles. it's just better in
this
every way.
This is me announcing that I'm leaving Flintlocks to join No Small Roles.
I feel like my character would murder me in my sleep if I did that. Nah, they're a sweet team.
Yeah,
but
we've heard that Steve is
I haven't played Steve in ages. Yeah, my Flintlocks character Scamp would never do any harm to a person intentionally. But unintentionally, oh boy, wild magic. It's fun.
So good. Okay. Robbie, let's have another one for you. This one is from Tiamat. So With the page, Orin gave Alfie about fire safety.
Oh, dear.
Do you imagine Alfie actually reading it? Or would it just be put in a pocket or a bag and never seen again? And do you think the Abraca lads, sorry, Ben, will be hearing of any other fires breaking out in their travels?
I think they will read it. They will pretty much immediately read it and go, okay, I remember this now, and then forget half of it, put it in the bag. It'll get forgotten for a bit. Eventually, they'll find it. And by that time, I wouldn't be surprised if something caustic has been spilled on it and half of it's missing. At that point, you've got some instructions missing, so you just, you know, I vaguely remember what it should have been. And by that point, you've created a firebomb instead of a fire suppressant, and you just make things worse. But there'll be good intentions there, but it's probably going to end in bigger fires.
Mm. Yeah, do you think we're going to hear about some big fires on travels? Do we think that is that absolutely what Alfie's gone off to do, burn everything?
Not on purpose. but, yeah, clumsy, forgetful alchemist is... Yeah, there's probably some more fires in Alfie's future.
The Forgetful Alchemist. I really want to watch that series.
Well, I guess we know if Enkidu suddenly loses his Wi-Fi connection back to Erida, what's happened there then, don't we? Like,
yeah,
oh,
yeah, yeah.
The wing traps have been burnt down.
Whoops.
Doesn't join the ranks, but they do burn down the facility.
Whole forest's
gone. That would be amazing. Can you imagine if it was that easy? Yeah. It's just like go into that little area, you borrow the compass, set fire to the trees, and walk away. It's like, no, that information. amazing. Right, Ben, another question for you here from Pippa. So Pippa, if you're ready, back to you.
Hi, Ben.
Hi, Pippa.
My question for you is, what's it going to take for Orin to open up with a bit more of his early life story?
Yes.
What is it going to take for Orin to open up with his early life story? I don't know. It's an interesting one. The whole Orin not talking about like his childhood and growing up much. It's a funny one, isn't it? Because I feel like I don't think it was hugely intentional for me coming in being like, "Mwahaha, I will tell no one anything about Orin. He shall just be a mysterious cipher and tell nothing." I think Orin's just kind of like, he's not the best at being forthcoming with information, is he?
Yeah, but we're comparing you to Gaius, who has now divulged everything. You're behind Gaius. Ooh, of all people.
Yeah. I think it's just I don't know. I feel like maybe he would be open if people wanted to talk about it more. I think it's a combination of he feels like stuff's in the past. So it's in the past, or that it's not important to what's going on now, or it doesn't affect the group. I think if something were to affect the group immediately, like, then, you know, that would be relevant. I think the other thing is that there is a lot unknown for Orin, if I'm totally honest. Like, I think there's a lot of backstory where I've gone to David like, "Meh." Orin doesn't know, so you get to make that up. Like, there's whole big mysteries that I've just parceled over to David to be like, "Eh." Like,
love doing that.
You've given him
so
much
dangerous
ammunition. Like, you know how he can twist it as well.
This is how you end up with like parents who are murderers and it's siblings you didn't know about. I've done this. It's dangerous.
Yeah. I mean, you know,
he's literally done that. Yeah.
I mean, already learned a little bit about his family, that he's related to the Wingthrups, a tiny bit related to them. I think there's also, there's a Woden Isles link that David is sneakily snuck in, apparently, to his character in Woden Isles. That
To Aris?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. I didn't know that. That's fantastic. That's awesome.
That I didn't clock as a DM while I was DMing. So, but who knows? Maybe if we have further Woden Isles adventures, there might be some Orin stuff that comes out via that.
Yes, please.
And I think the other element is like, Orin didn't necessarily have the happiest upbringing and childhood. And I don't think it's something he hugely likes dwelling on as a general rule, because it wasn't always great. So I think there's also a big element of like him happy to just put stuff in the past and move on. But then at the same time, he's curious about his past. So it's tricky. But I think, yeah, I think it wasn't always happy. And I think, I think he's probably not worked his way through that. If Hannah T was here, she'd probably point out, you know, there's probably a lot to unpack from that point of view for him. I don't know. I don't think he's got like some massive secret that he's like, ma-ha-ha-ha. I must never tell them this. It's just more like a little combination of lots of little, reasons, I think, for him.
Does that help, Pippa?
I mean, if anything, I want to know even more now.
Basically, we just need somebody now to ask Orin a bunch of questions and he'll hopefully tell us things that he doesn't even necessarily know about.
It's all here in this folder, Pippa. It's all right here.
Wow, you're organised.
There's how many pages of backstory are there? Let's have a look, just out of interest. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Okay, only really 5.
There's so much backstory.
Only 5 pages, and then the rest is appearance, and so that there's, it's like 13 pages altogether, but only 5 is like backstory.
Wow.
Front and back, yeah.
Yeah, no, so single-sided. And some of it was pictures, so that's fine.
Thank you, Ben.
Thanks, Pippa.
Amazing, Pippa. Thank you for the question. Okay, Robbie, we have some questions for you now. I'm going to quick fire them at you.
Yeah.
So this is from Frank Bromley, who was asked, you mentioned before that you have a wall of tea at home. So what do you think Twain Tide is?
Ooh, yeah. I change my mind occasionally. Like, I had ideas and I was like, oh, maybe it's this instead. But there's a tea I really like that I don't think is available at the moment, which is annoying. But it was called Fireside Snuggles and it sort of made me think of that. It's a black tea that's, I think it was a mixture of, oh, I forget which, just a sort of a normal black tea, one of them, and lapsang, so it was slightly smoky, but it also had like cinnamon and coconut flavours in it, and it was just the most comforting tea I've ever tasted. It was sort of warming, but also a bit sweet and a bit spicy, and it was just, it was so good. I need to get more of it if I can find it.
That's a bit, I think I could see Vicky in the chat making notes as well, just like, ooh, gotta search this one.
I have so much tea. Tea is the best.
What's it called? The Fireside Snuggle?
Fireside Snuggles, it was called. I think it was Bird and Blend.
That sounds amazing.
Bird and Blend do some really nice tea.
Oh, amazing. All you tea drinkers out there, look it up. It's the new Twain Tide.
Which is all of you, I hope.
Yeah.
And if not, why?
Yeah. Who's listening to this if they don't drink tea? What else are they here for?
Like the guy in the bar we met that was like, I like coffee. We're like, what?
Get out. Another one for you then, Robbie. So we've had this question from Mike C in the past. And as you're a listener of the show, Robbie, we thought we'd ask you too. What's been your favourite moment of the campaign so far? Aside, obviously, from your wonderful appearance on the show.
Probably the answer that a lot of people give, I think, like episode 8. Unsurprising, probably. But also, well, I mean, I loved Twain and all of those interactions. Those episodes were just fun and exciting. And yeah, it did change the energy for a bit. And it just caused so many problems between characters. And there's some great, like, character moments in those episodes. Also, like, the Wingthrop tests, the first ones that were, like, puzzles and problem solving. Oh, I love a good sort of puzzle dungeon. Oh, it's so satisfying. And yeah, I was like, I want to play this dungeon. This is great.
Yeah, absolutely. I don't want to play the second one.
No, I'll pass on that one.
That just ends badly.
Yeah. But the other one was just, great bit of dungeon design. It was fun.
Those are really good choices. Fantastic. And finally, we have a question from Orin, who was asked, please can Alfie come back on as a guest again, please?
Yes, I would love to.
It's a special question.
Oh, I love artificers nerding together. Yeah. It's so fun.
I think we all do. It was so cute to see you just scribbling over notes and chat about things.
And just how annoying it is for every other character. I love it.
Like you were saying earlier, Robbie, like leaning in, like when it's, you can see that the joy in, like, as you, for a limited period, obviously you don't want to do it all the time, but for
of annoyance, there's a fine line.
It's by just being like, oh yeah, this is this is,
oh, that annoys me, let's do it again.
I love the way that you made your introduction as well. You just went straight over to the teapot goose. It was the only thing that Alfie cared about in that room. I was like, oh, that's interesting.
Yeah.
I was like, hi, we're waiting for your introduction. No, I'm good.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for answering all of those questions. I've had a blast and I've got to know a hell of a lot more than I knew before we started recording this. Which has, yeah, been really, really exciting. Thank you so much to our superstars, Ben and Robbie. And in case any of you want to hear more from Robbie, which of course you do, can you please remind us where we can find you?
Yes, Flintlocks and Fireballs. We're on lots of podcast platforms, except Spotify, if you listen through Spotify to anything. We're not on there because they have a time limit on how long your episodes can be.
What? Really?
And we go way over that limit.
No way.
Yeah. Like, our longest episodes are pushing 6 hours, so... yeah, we're way over their limits.
Wow. Oh, proper sesh.
Like, we're mostly not that long. Don't be too crazily intimidated. But yes, we are on many podcasts and things. I think we're just www.flintlocksandfireballs.com, but also on Twitter and Instagram. We are at flintlocksdnd. I think that's probably the best places to find us. We also have a Discord. You are very welcome to join it. Lots of lovely people on there. I am told, I feel weird about being on there, so I don't go on because I get social anxiety about it. But I know you're all lovely people and I hear how lovely you are. So anyone who's on there, thank you.
Aw, I'll come find you in the Discord. And that made it sound so much worse. Like, you're definitely going to feel anxiety.
I'm going to find you.
I mean, I'm also in the No Small Roles Discord. If anyone wants to chat to me, I am there.
Yeah. That goes for everyone who is it. I can vouch. It's a really wholesome community. So just come and test it out. Like, if you've got questions about D&D, there's people here to answer it who've DM'd and they've played, and some people who are interested in about it, setting up games and stuff. It's a really nice community of people that just, you know, have obviously this wonderful show in common. So come check us out. Come.
I love the fan art so much.
Creation
the minis that are being painted as well.
So good.
So good. Oh yeah, and if you sell stuff, you can promote it there as well. Like, there's all sorts of things going on in the Discord. So promotion, our Discord, Flintlocks and Fireballs Discord. Come join it now. Guys, thank you so much. This has been so much fun. Thank you everyone who's been in the chat and for giving us your questions. You've been brilliant. And I think I've got away without being distracted by the chat in a heartfelt moment. I think. You might have seen me grin a couple of times when somebody mentioned something funny. But
thank you for being so welcoming, just everyone as well. You're all a lovely bunch.
Oh, well, please come back.
It's been a delight.
Come back for more. The fans demand it. I think there's only one more thing to say. Is everybody ready?
And on for now!
Well, hello again, Fate Mark 5 aficionados. Ben here to say a huge thank you to our special guest, Robbie Bellicom, for joining us to chat all things Alchemy, Artificer, and Alfie. And a big thank you to Superfan Sam for keeping the chaos under control. Oh, and to Superfan Pippa for editing this episode of No Small Questions. We loved getting to answer so many fantastic questions, so thank you to everyone who sent those in on our social media or Discord. And speaking of Discord, it's currently buzzing, B pun very much intended, with fantastic fan creations, thoughts on the Abracalad's adventures, oh, and discussions about horse names. Some very questionable horse names. Now, if you want to learn what that's all about, all you need to do is click on the link in the show notes and follow the steps to join our Discord server. We were delighted again to be joined in the recording by so many of our patrons. And if you'd like to be part of the live Zoom chat as it happens, well, then you need to head on over to our Patreon at patreon.com/nosmallroles. This week, we've shared our No Small Talk post-recording chat for episode 51, exclusively for our Teapot and Tea Caddy supporters. And we've got some fantastic treats coming to the Patreon soon, including the second part of the Woden Isles adventure, and more of David's stories from Julemere. Now, if you're looking for further D&D adventures while you wait, then check out Grace Kelly Miller's appearance in Outlaws and Obelisks, Slowdown Showdown, with our favourite blue-haired bard, Jeremy Cobb, in the DM seat. The Slowdown Showdown podcast episodes are a sequel to the D&D Celebration 2021 livestream, and part one can be found on the Three Black Halflings podcast feed right now. If you're not subscribed to them already, we've included all the links you need in the show notes. Still need more D&D? Well then, of course, you need to check out Robbie Bellacomet in Flintlocks and Fireballs. As well as the main story, their podcast feed includes fantastic one-shots, drow poetry, sea shanties, and so much Napoleonic fantasy goodness. Everything you need is at flintlocksandfireballs.com. Well, you'll also find a handy chapter's guide to discover the perfect place to join the would-be privateers. Right, we will be back very soon with episode 52. I'm off to drink this mysterious potion that Robbie left for me. Anon for now.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.